call order in council.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chatten.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mayor Yoakam.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
Make a motion to remove ordinance 5-2015 through ordinance 11-2015, annexing certain territory to the city of Vincennes, Indiana.
Got a motion?
Point out procedurally, I don't think we're supposed to do anything of that nature until the 22nd date. It would be wrong procedurally, but you take that advice, I guess.
Or it could die for lack of a second.
Well, that's true, still I was my second.
I don't think that it makes sense to remove it when there's a public hearing scheduled a week from today, but that's a decision the council would have to make.
Okay. Well, very good. There is a lack of a second, but I would go on to say that I would move approval of the agenda with the only change being that resolution 13-2015 be moved up on the agenda under repetitions, memorials, and remonstrances. But that change to remove the agenda be approved.
Second. Okay, and a motion second to approve the agenda as amended.
Okay, what?
Oh, is it me?
Your turn.
You're too much. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
No.
And the agenda is approved by vote 6-1. Approval of minutes from the April 27th.
I move that the minutes be approved.
Second. Motion by President Chatten, second by Councilman Rose, to approve the April 27th minutes as presented.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And those are approved by vote of 7-0. Moving on to petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I would ask former Fire Chief Gordon Becker to please come forward, and I'm going to take the liberty of going out and reading this resolution from the podium if I can. I think you'll all agree he looks quite dapper this evening. This is resolution 13-2015, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, honoring the distinguished career of former Fire Chief Gordon Becker. Whereas Mr. Gordon Becker served as a dedicated firefighter for the City of Vincennes for 27 years prior to his retirement in May 2015, and whereas Mr. Gordon Becker served as a dedicated fire chief from 2012 to 2015, and whereas Mr. Gordon Becker was a true public servant in helping the citizens of Vincennes during times of hardship and distress, whereas Mr. Gordon Becker has worked diligently to make the Vincennes Fire Department an outstanding asset to the city, providing life-saving services with distinction, now therefore be it resolved by the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, that gratitude is expressed to Mr. Gordon Becker for his many years of dedicated service to Vincennes, both as a firefighter and chief of the Vincennes Fire Department,
Be it further resolved that the citizens, firefighters, and all elected officials are called upon to thank you to Mr. Gordon Becker for his service. Be it further resolved that this dedicated firefighter and fire chief will long be remembered and honored by future generations. Be it further resolved that Chief Becker has, by his service, brought great credit upon himself, the citizens of Vincennes, Indiana, and the Vincennes Fire Department through his many years of selfless service. I'm going to hesitate here, because I'm going to ask the council to adopt this by unanimous resolution by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, now I can read the rest of it. Passed and adopted by the Common Council this 11th day of May 2015 by a vote of 7-0 with none abstaining. Congratulations, Chief. Thank you very much. Welcome to say a few words.
I don't get a chance to Council and Mayor, I thank you greatly. Thank you, Mayor, for having confidence in me to let me be the chief. I'm very honored and always have been to serve the citizens of Vincennes as firefighter, regardless of my rank. And I truly would like to thank the citizens of Vincennes. I've always been able to work with the public, and it's a very honorable thing to know that I can go to anybody and work with them. And I have been very fortunate in my career to have the ability to do that, and I thank you all.
And we wish you all the best and a well-deserved retirement.
Anybody else have anything under? I'd just like to mention that it is President Chapman's birthday today.
I believe it is, not very good at math, the 23rd anniversary of my 39th birthday, so I know how to celebrate. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to committee reports.
Mr. Mayor, under tourism, I'd like to introduce Rick Lindenberg and ask him to come forward. Rick is the executive director of the National Watermelon Festival. And he has a few drop, and he'd like to say a few words.
Well, I don't know whether the executive director came. I think I got Tom into a job. But if you follow the news media, about a week ago, you saw where the Bicentennial Commission for the State of Indiana selected the National Watermelon Drop here in Vincennes to be the inaugural event to kick off the state bicentennial. And what fitting for a state and a county with the first of everything here in Vincennes to celebrate the bicentennial. It's been said, you know, you can't get to statehood without stopping at Vincennes and Mount Stallion, and that's certainly true. So this year we're going to change the watermelon drop up a little bit, but at the stroke of midnight, not only will we be ushering in the new year as we have for 8 years in a row, but we will also be kicking off the state's bicentennial celebration. So more to come, you'll hear a lot about it in the future. And we sure appreciate the support the Board of Public Works showed just a few minutes ago, and we'll be asking for your support as we go down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right. Any other chair reports?
Mr. Mayor, I would want to note that our next regular council meeting falls on Memorial Day. For that reason, we will meet on May 26th at the same time, Tuesday. So May 26th will be the next regular meeting.
Now we'll move on to report of city officers. I'm going to move to old business. First is ordinance 5-2015 to ordinance 11-2015. And that's the territory of the city of Vincennes.
After, doing our homework, looking at some of the things, getting what information was out there, even the slow trickle that we see, kind of comparing some of the hits that we see on taxing entities and how the city would be affected and things in the county, hearing from our citizens in the city, listening to the people out in the county as well, and then obviously taking into perspective some of the state of opinions that you've seen stated by some of the councilmen, whether it be on newspaper or radio and things like that. I met with Councilman Brown last week, and we discussed, you know, possible options in moving forward in the annexation plans. And we kind of came up with a revised map. I presented you all with the revised map tonight, and I would like you to take a look at that. I'd also like to make a motion to revise the maps, the annexation maps, and replace them with these maps. And then I would like the mayor to prepare amended financial statements for these areas.
So just a motion to...
to revise the maps, to these maps.
Revise the maps and then provide the financial...
financial data for these areas as presented. Yes.
Salter, second, Councilman Brown, to amend the maps as presented to the committee.
Now, to give a little bit of explanation, to kind of look at these maps as a whole, we all kind of understand the areas that have been laid out, areas 1 through 7. In this plan, what we would see is area 1 would basically be knocked out except a small area off Old Bruceville Road. That area is surrounded by city, and the only way to get in there is through the city. When you do that, because of the rules with annexation, that knocks out area 2. Area 3, then, the Fox Ridge area would be knocked out. The land on the corresponding side would still be in play in area 3. Area 4 would be completely knocked out. Area 5 would be knocked out. Area 6 would be between Felt King Road, Hart Street, and Main Street, so it would be that economic development area through there. And area 7 would stay as is. Now, obviously, this is a vast change from what we've seen, but from some of the things we've heard, not just in the city and the county, and from perspective, you know, from our council as a whole, we still believe that this gives the citizens an opportunity for economic and residential development, which is something not just this council looks for, this mayor looks for, but something that every council and every mayor, you know, that's their goal. They want to see the city of Vincennes expand. They want to see the city of Vincennes grow. They want to see the city of Vincennes succeed. So this gives us an opportunity and kind of lays in half for us to be able to do that. Now, this doesn't mean that if we do go forward with this, it doesn't mean that we accept this annexation plan as is, but this means that now this is the plan that we will be looking at as we move forward. Obviously, if we get data back, that could change our opinion as well.
Do we have any idea as to how long it would take for us to receive the new financial information?
I just had to request it. Once they get this as soon as they can. Yeah, it comes by June 22nd.
Would there be any legal involvement here in this process?
What?
These are ordinances, resolutions have passed for areas 1 through 7, ordinances to annex those 1 through 7 are still pending, and if the council or the mayor decides to withdraw it or modify it, then so be it. Public hearing is still scheduled, and those who are interested...
I just mean, since it was changing, I didn't know if that was the process to start all...
I mean, I think the best way that I've been told is it's like a budget. You propose your budget there, you can't go over what that budget is, but you can't go under. Can't and I think that was the best way that it was explained to me.
In the form of an amendment.
You can reduce the area, and that may impact the public hearing, because if the council were to do that and drop out those areas that the councilman has suggested, then those would be off the table. Area 2, I heard, and 1, and whatever, those would not be subject to annexation by the June meeting.
I just have to protect your interests on the way.
I appreciate your protecting me, Doug.
Is there any other discussion?
There's very few residential, existing residential properties in this that. One of my concerns all along has been to not have a direct impact planning on spending $1 million on paving roads, and we can do that. We can pave a lot more roads if we're not going out into other areas, paving roads in areas where people don't want to be part of the city. So I see this as somewhat of a win-win for the people in my district. Like I said, that's what I've been looking at for all along. It's unfortunate for the people that are going to be in a horrible position, because that they won't have the opportunity to hook into the city sewer lines, but that's not my issue. I represent the district and the city of Vincennes, and that's my main concern. And then this gives us a little bit of opportunity to expand areas that, if you didn't know it, you'd think these areas were in Vincennes.
I got a quick question. So you're going to ask Crowe?
Can you go up there and identify yourself? What is your address, city, state?
My name's Ted Dye. I'm 325 North Hyde Park Drive. Basically, what you're going to ask for is to grow a four-by firm to make new fiscal plans, correct?
With the revised
right,
area.
Right, new fiscal plans. Are they going to be, are you going to have those prior to the next week's meeting?
I would say there's no guarantee they'll have them done by the 18th, but definitely by the 22nd.
Okay, right.
I think basically all we're going to have to do is go back and look what they've done. And then
right, just a revised fiscal.
And when more, I think it's more interesting.
Is that going to be available to the public, or is this something just for council?
No, it's public information.
Okay, so we get it on the packets?
Pardon?
The original fiscal plans, it was mailed them. Are we going to get the new ones mailed to us as well?
Here's the thing.
That's part of the process. Right?
I guess I'm looking at this from a common sense point of view. If you're no longer on the map,
I understand.
It doesn't even impact you.
Right.
So you can leave here tonight and go, hey.
I'm going to still be on it.
But you see what I'm saying?
What I understood is, and then you can discuss the fiscal plan, and then by the 22nd is when you make your decision as to what you want, what you don't want.
Right.
So this is the only fiscal plan that will be.
Yeah, because I revise.
All right. So.
Yeah, this was just a revision. That fiscal plan was never written in stone for any of the areas. That's really a tool for the city council and the mayor to determine whether they want to bite off this chunk of real estate. And it also informs the taxpayers. And what I heard the motion to reduce the areas, this is not starting from ground zero. There is a fiscal plan that would be modified to show the new area. So here again, this would be a reduction, most likely, or fine-tuning some of those numbers, which those numbers were going to be fine-tuned anyway throughout the process as more information was gathered. But as soon as those are available, they'll be on the website as well. But there's no requirement to remail fiscal plans. That process was started. And then between now and whether the council adopts or doesn't adopt those ordinances, these are all pieces of the puzzle that the council has to work with to get the find out if it's economically feasible.
I commend Councilman Brown and Councilman Salters on their revisions here and their effort to compromise. However, I do remain an opponent of the current annexation process, therefore I will be voting no.
So, are you still going to have the meeting next?
The 18th, yeah, that's still happening.
You're still going through that. And does everyone out there understand what's been? Does everybody understand this?
I think
you should go over it again.
I can pass these out and explain. There's a couple that are left.
Yeah.
And I can hand these out. And they can take a look at it from there. And I can go through it one more time.
That's
all right. All right, so you can just kind of pass it around. So basically, we got our seven areas. All right, area one, you basically cut most of area one out, except for there's a small little neighborhood off Old Bruceville Road. It's surrounded by the city, and the only outlet, the only way to get into it is through the city. So it kind of made sense at that point just to kind of leave that one in. The access to it is basically landlocked by the city. When you do that, rules stipulate that you have to have a certain amount of land connected. That cancels out area two. Area three, you cancel out the Foxridge area, and then the land on the other side, we would look at that. Area four, we would cancel out. Area five, we would cancel out. Area six, we would only leave in the area that's between Felking, Hart Street, and Main Street, so like where Steak and Shake's at, right in front of the high school. And area seven would stay in totality. Now, when you look at the maps, everything that's gray is the areas that have been marked out, and the ones that have color in it, green, red, yellow, and purple, which are only four areas now, would be the ones that would remain. At this point, like I said, these are the things being proposed. It doesn't mean that we would accept it, but it's a revision to the current plan that we would have, and now we would go forward with this current plan to see where we were at.
And this is a current revision, so it could change also again. I mean, it can change up until the final vote.
I would agree with that, except I don't think you can add those areas you're deleting back in.
No, you can't add them unless you take them away.
It could be smaller. It will never be any bigger.
Right.
I understand.
Right. I just want a point of clarification. The resolution was to consider these restricted areas, as you described, to get the fiscal plan so that we could then have the information needed as we go forward and make a decision. That's the resolution, in effect, to seek the fiscal plan to be amended so that this smaller area could be considered.
Right.
Then it'll come back to the council to decide if, once we have that information, to make a decision. This is a request for information, essentially, to get.
Yeah, it's a request for information, but it's also to revise. To revise the map as a whole, to revise the map and get the information at the same time. So we would be cutting out areas with this revision.
Which means the fiscal calls would change.
So that would cause the physical plan to change.
I support these. Getting this information so we can make the decision going forward. I'm just a little without that information, I guess I'm a little reluctant. I can put it this way. I want to get the information so that we can make the decision at the point that we get that information back with the fiscal plans, because council should make the decision based on the best information available.
Right, of course.
So I want that to happen, so I fully support it. That resolution. I'm a little confused about whether you. I think you can do that without amending the ordinance.
Without
seeking additional information, and you're certainly giving the city.
Right.
The
right.
Council is moving.
The way that I kind of saw this, the way I kind of went at it, is you can kind of take what we've done, and you can just kind of gauge the way most of the council members respond to certain things. Whether, you know, they stated in the newspaper, stated on the radio, wherever they stated publicly, we can kind of gauge where certain people are at. We can gauge where our citizens are at. We can gauge where the candidates are at. We kind of have a sense of how the taxing entities will be fixed. We kind of have a sense of how the city will be affected and the costs that go into that. So, I mean, we do have some things to base this idea off of.
Sure, well, I understand it. This has been a process of learning for the council. We're learning about the same place as everyone else, but I just want to make sure we have the best information available to make a final decision. So I fully support the resolution of asking our consultant to get this information on this smaller area, so that then we will have that information to make a decision down the road on a formal amendment to the ordinances that would do that.
I think though, by changing the map, then you're going to have in black and white exactly what we need from Crowe.
Sure.
If you leave the map as is, and then you see this information, you say, what if we just did areas 1, 2, and 3? What if we just did 4, 5, and 6? By doing this, you're defining exactly what we need financial revenue for.
You'd be closer to it, because the area would be smaller.
Sure, and then you can do it more quickly, I would think. So, if I'm understanding the resolution correctly, I'm fully supporting it.
And I agree.
Resolution seeking the information on these smaller areas, so we have a full fiscal impact to then, once we have that, make the formal decision about amending the ordinance.
So we're saying by June 22nd, we're going to get this fiscal information, and on June 22nd, we're supposed to vote whether or not?
Well, if we don't have the information, then it'd be my recommendation we don't vote, because you need the information. That's the whole point.
All right, so just let me kind of get this in there. So we have two separate ideas going forward and two different pieces of information, one for the current plan and one for this.
The current plan exists, but this would be seeking this information so that we can then move forward on the formal decisions of amending the ordinance.
But if we vote, we should vote, if I understand Mr. Wallace correctly, if we vote to shrink these, they never come back. So the old plan dies with that vote.
My understanding of the resolution was that the 7 area annexation plan would be gone. The only thing left pending for the council would be whatever those revised maps are.
And you can't go back and say, well,
I don't think that you would want to have parallel or alternative plans, because you could have 50 ordinances, as Mr. Clark points out, what if scenario. So I think what I heard and the council's being asked to do is say that they're not going forward based upon the full 7 area plan. And if the resolution is voted on, then the financial advisors would come back and say, if the resolution or the ordinance is now these reduced areas, here's the fiscal impact, and that's what you would be voting on, whether it's in June or whenever you think you have the right information. But I don't think it would ever go back to the 7 areas.
Yeah. So basically, the map that was presented by Mr. Brown and Mr. Salters would be the new plan.
That would be the plan we would move forward with.
And there is no going back and saying, well, never mind, we're going to go back to the 7. We can't do it.
And that's what you're wanting to vote on today. This
becoming the new plan, us getting the amended financials for this plan, and moving forward from this point with this new plan.
And just to be even more clear, tonight to vote on this and say we will move forward with this, that doesn't mean on the day of the vote.
Nope.
We can still vote down.
Yes,
this is just voting.
Exactly.
This is just voting to say, all right, take a look at this.
And yes. We want these areas out right now.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Where annexation may never pass for any areas. And once the proposal is reduced as suggested, you may look at the fiscal impact and say, well, this has to come out too, or all of them come out, like you said. So it's still a work in progress. But I think in fairness to the impacted people, if you start looking at a different area, then you're going to have to stick with that. Or say no to this resolution, and you could still get the what ifs going at some cost, as you could pare it down. But.
And to kind of go back to Mr. Dye's question, if you're still on this map, you still got the information that you're being annexed. If you're no longer on this map, then we don't need to notify because you're no longer in. I mean,
they could still participate in any way they want, but they would not be annexed voluntarily or involuntarily.
How about some of the areas that have been deleted? Why do some of those people would like to come? They were scheduled to come next week.
They should come if they want to.
And speak for and tell us what they want.
Well, that's the other side of the coin. It's not getting much coverage. Is the people that want it need to show up.
Absolutely.
And at any time, whether the old law or the new law, people can voluntarily say, we need city services of this nature, will you take us in? That's still a possibility, but as far as the involuntary annexation under the old regime, if this map were changed by the consent of the council, then I think you would be limited in going forward to whatever the new footprint is. In fairness to the people who have previously been notified.
Now, let me just say, when these ordinances passed on first reading, people in the audience and the public should be aware that passage of an ordinance on first reading is the equivalent of saying the council agrees to consider it, or council committee for consideration. First reading is not a vote for or against something, it's just saying we'll look at it. But at the point that we did that vote, we had a fiscal plan, which is what you're requesting in this resolution. You're requesting a fiscal plan so that we can consider this these much smaller areas. I guess what I'm saying is that on a vote to definitively say this is what we're considering going forward, I would want to have a fiscal plan, which is what you're requesting, so I support that part. It's just, without the fiscal plan, I just don't know that we have that information to say for or against that this is what needs to be done. I just don't feel like I'm very confident in that information. As an example, and this is purely hypothetical, but you've got maps here, but there may be that you've left out of this map this small sliver of ground that's needed to make that area fiscally sound in terms of doing anything. So, if Dave is correct, pass this as an amendment to the ordinances, we close that door behind us to say we can't put that sliver back.
Technically, we really don't have to pass anything. Let's just use annexation area one for example.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we wiped it out 100%. So we on June 22nd, we could just vote 7-0 and take to not pass it.
Sure.
Which would keep the process going. Is that the correct statement?
Yes.
Okay. Which wouldn't bind us up if we got into a position that Wayne's talking about, to where if Joe goes to Crow and they come back and say, well, this area, we need to maybe annex this small sliver here. And it won't throw us off because we haven't already voted. So we might just want to keep everything as is, but from a PR perspective, basically say the annexed area is about 20% of what it was.
It's not nothing to do with PR, it has to do with getting the information make the final decision. I have no problem with making the tentative decision, and there's no doubt.
But what I'm saying is to sit here and because he has to get legal descriptions written up. Okay? So if he gets these legal descriptions written up, and he gets the city engineer to look over even further, and he gets Crow to look over, and maybe the Kirk Bushy to look over a little bit. That way, we're not obligated to vote to something that we voted on, say, tonight, that would hurt us down the road. Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's kind of the flip side of what I was saying earlier. I want the information.
We're going to get the information.
But I just don't want to bind this totally.
That's what I
tell we get the
information. That's what I'm just saying. We're not going to, because we don't even need to vote on.
Well, but in order for the mayor to go to Crow and so forth and say, let's do it, they probably like a sense of where the council stands. I have no problem voting on a resolution saying we want the information
okay.
to see if these areas you know, makes sense, so that we can then come back and make the formal amendment. But that way we have the information. Right now we just have the past. So all I seek is more to make sure we have the information to make a correct decision. Within the context that we all understand, we're talking about a much smaller area. Consensus on that. I just don't want the scenario that Dave's describing, that tonight, he's just on a map, we close the door forever on something that may be just small alteration.
That's what I was saying, but to me, that's...
I have a problem with that.
We could have something.
But this would be the primary plan as we move forward.
It would be understood that that'd be the...
That this is the primary plan that we would be looking at with the possibility of a sliver or so.
Basically. So I think we should be seeking information. Well, I am mistaken.
I can go with that.
Okay.
Sounds like a point.
Well, you might want to clarify your motion.
Okay, so the motion that we would be making would be to get revised information on the maps that have been presented. So we would ask Mayor Yoakum to get information for the maps that I presented here that we've got out in the open right now. And we would basically use this as the primary option with the possibility that there could be some tweaks here and there.
In all fairness to everybody who's going to be affected by this, that means that Area 1's still a possibility. I mean, that means that all areas are still a possibility, just so they, that's how it's going to be, that's how the motion is. And I think probably that's the only way we can do it, because of the public hearing on May 18th. We don't know everything that's going to be said there. The purpose of a public hearing is to learn things about it. And Councilman Rose said there may be people out there planning to speak in a way that we have heard, that we have learned about. So we close that door behind us, and that closed the door on them being able to speak. We want as wide a participation as possible in the public on all sides. So I support the resolution as he has stated it.
Is there a possibility to get some expected costs on what these people would have to pay if they decide to pursue it down the road? Their anticipated sewage costs, water hookups, that's a...
I'll get that from the utilities.
What do you mean, like the people that are going to be, that you're proposing that would be annexed into it?
No, what I'm saying is there's some people out there that if there's some people out there that are going to be hurt. They're going to be hurt and bad because their area is not going to be annexed.
Right.
So I think it's important for them to know what cost they would have to incur if they pursue getting some of these services extended. You see what I'm saying? Because it's going to be a heck of a lot more than it would be if they were annexed. That's my point. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is
the information crew is going to compile, it's not going to take near as long to compile, because you have very little residential property in here.
I understand that, but we still don't even have the information now.
You've got the fiscal plans that we're going to get through.
Well, parcel by parcel, you know, and we still don't have some of that information now, so I'm just a little concerned about the timeframe.
You're never going to have your exact cost until you actually do it. If you've got a parcel here, you don't know what it's going to cost until somebody comes out and figures out what the geographic makeup is of your property. If you're clay, it's going to take, cost a lot more to work on your property versus somebody who's got...
One of my big concerns, though, is how it's going to affect the schools, how it affects the fire department, how it affects the library, things like that, how it affects everything as a whole. And obviously, there were some pretty big numbers as far as what Unbonded came back with, and it was very concerning to a lot of people in the city and in the county. And so I'm just, you know, wanting to see, obviously, if there were some areas that people really wanted annexed, you know, For me, I think this all needs to go to the people. I mean, I don't like us voting on this when we are not elected by them. I don't like it. But I understand that this process has started, but I would like to have all the information before I'm supposed to make this decision. I mean, and how it would affect everything else. And I have plenty of time to talk to people about it. And if there are areas that would like to be annexed, like you were talking, you know, there are maybe people who are having septic issues and sewer could be beneficial. Maybe certain areas could be annexed in, I don't know. But I just don't like not having this information and how it's going to affect the school and things. I mean, that's just, I think everybody, you know, who's got kids or grandkids in the school, you understand that that's a lot of money that they're talking about taking out of the school. And it's just very concerning to have this decision and, you know, the information given it to us at last minute. I feel like I'm unprepared to go out and talk to people about this when we don't have that information. You know what I mean? So I'm just kind of worried about June 22nd and having all this information kind of just brought up and not enough time to look through it.
Well, I agree, and I think that the importance of having the questions answered prior to making a decision is what's driving a lot of concern among all of us that are reducing the areas that are being considered. I met with school superintendents and heads of libraries and so forth. Everyone's concerned about the impact on their budget as well. And so obviously, as we make this map smaller,
I
think all of us have felt, you know, uncomfortable with the amount of detail we've had on the information to make a decision. So obviously, as we shrink the map, that will be easier to answer. So, you know, I can live with the, if you want to say this is the final, the extent of what we will consider. That's the consensus that people feel comfortable with.
You're looking at about 20%. So let's say that the school corporations is going to be impacted.
$277,000.
Okay, so take 20% of that, and that's probably
going to be that.
Yeah. You're it's going to be less than that even, because you're taking out a lot of your higher assessed value.
If we do this.
Right.
But I'm going off of the only numbers that I've seen right now, and that's all of it as a whole, $277,000. So yeah, it will shrink a lot.
Considerably.
So, but I would still like to know how much by then. And, you know, then I would like to talk to schools and different people to see if this is something even that they can deal with, if it's something that they want to. Which I'm guessing probably not. Nobody likes their budget shrinking, but... especially when it comes to kids in library.
I mean, the purpose of this isn't to say that this is it. This is the end all be all. This is what the plan's going to be. This was to shrink it down. Take a look at this. It'll work. It worked. If it didn't, it's done. So, I mean, I think we're kind of getting the water a little dirty. I know a lot of us about the schools. I mean, Mr. Clark, you concerned about the schools?
No.
I'm concerned about the schools, too. So, I mean, these are things that obviously, you know, not just us do, but everybody out here, everybody out in the audience. I mean, schools are a really important part, important aspect of our, you know, our city. And we don't want to see anything bad happen to those. But this would just be a point, hey, let's shrink it down. Let's take a look at it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
But the motion that Mr. Salters made leaves it wide open so we can have these numbers as well as not handcuff ourselves in the future. I mean, so as the motion has been made, well, it should satisfy all parties.
No. This is the final draft.
Let's do it as a final draft.
But get it back?
No, we can't, because as he made the motion. He made the motion that we only get the information from Pro based on...
Did you guys ask me to change it?
Yes.
Because you wanted some flexibility, and
that's
we can go back to the final draft, which I wanted to do in the first place.
What your motion is, you revised the plan to this new map.
And get the amended information for this map.
But in order to satisfy,
well,
Jack,
I am getting a feel of the consensus here, and so I don't. I think what I was arguing earlier is not necessarily as relevant as it was at the beginning of the debate.
So it does not matter to me, because all it is, you're correct. All it is information. Like, no vote here is going to actually, you know...
No, this doesn't mean that it's annexed. It means that this is the area we are looking at now.
Looking at.
Okay.
But that is that way, looking at.
Is that clear, or are we still not clear?
I got it. You got that letter?
After about 30 minutes.
Just information purposes only.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the maps, and that's presented.
No, it's adjust the map to this, and then we're going to get the financial projections for this map.
Okay.
And the ordinance will be adjusted for the map.
All right.
Map presented. Yeah, I guess I will.
Motion in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
If I may. My name is Tina Kunkler-Lockey. I live at 126 North Alden Drive. Address happens to be Vincennes, but I am a county person. Several of you are familiar with my name, my email, my phone number, my tax records. I'm asking here tonight if you are following with this proposal by Mr. Salters, if you would be able to go ahead and drop the ordinances for Area 2, Area 4, Area 5, I believe those are the only ones that are dropping out completely. That would be one question. Would it be possible to go ahead and eliminate those ordinances completely from the plan? Secondly, and you may, if you want to stop me at that, or if you want me to ask my second question, I'll be happy to do that, whichever.
Mr. Rawlings, technically, wouldn't they just be eliminated anyway if we shrunk it, because there's no going back at that point, right?
They would become moot.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that. Thank you. Secondly, I wanted to ask if the June 22nd adoption of annexation ordinances, if that date is set in stone, or if that is a date that could be moved out further. I'm hearing from a few different people that they are not comfortable with the amount of information provided at this time, and I'm curious if that date is set or if it could be moved.
It could be moved up till midnight June 30.
Could I ask a reason for that particular date?
The new law goes into effect July 1, and this entire ordinance package developed under the law as it exists today. So ordinances that are passed after June 30, 2015 would have to follow a different procedure, which I'm not up to speed on since it's not law yet.
So beyond the legal significance of that date, I would say this, that the council is not going to adopt anything until we're satisfied with the information. So your question was premised on being satisfied with the information.
Yes, I believe so.
So if we get up to the deadline and we are still not satisfied with the information, then, well, we try to go down. My point is, we're not going to go forward, you know, we're satisfied.
And this was...
Understanding all the impacts.
This was addressed by the mayor. He gave us the time that, hey, if you don't have the information you need, then it's done, then we'll go from there.
Okay.
We've got the flexibility to have the time that we need to get the information that would satisfy us, so...
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question?
Call the question, I guess, in the papers.
What is it, oh my God, the question?
Voting on the resolution to shrink the area.
Oh, okay.
Just do the roll call.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Reasons mentioned earlier, none.
Okay, by a vote of 6-1, I will have the maximum ordinances adjusted to this new maximum decision and have the request adjustment plan for the new adjusted areas. Okay. Next up is ordinance 13-2015, petition for change of zoning ordinance maps in Knox County's first reading is April 27th.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a second reading of ordinance 13-2015.
Second. Motion by President Chatten, second by Councilman Sebring, to have second reading of ordinance 13-2015.
Ordinance 13-2015, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance containing sections 1 through 3, essentially changing from an R2 zone to C2 for the Halter expansion. And the discussed, they may need to change the description slightly because there was an omitted lot, but in the same area and the same people have been notified.
Mr. Mayor, the council has the transmittal notice from the Area Planning Commission. Hearing was held. No one from the public spoke against this, and it did pass unanimously as a recommendation to pass to this council by the Area Planning Commission.
Any discussion?
Hearing none, I call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 13-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mr. Mayor, we have a third reading of ordinance 13-2015.
Second. Motion by President Chatten, second by Councilman Sebring, to have third and final reading of ordinance 13-2015.
Ordinance 13-2015, an ordinance adopting amendments to the Knox County zoning ordinance containing sections 1 through 3, R2 to C2, and it would also, in addition to the ordinances submitted, it would add lot 34, I believe, which was omitted.
Discussion. Call for question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 13-2015 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 17-2015, additional appropriation of ordinance from debt accounting of $3,000. The first reading was April 27th.
Mayor, we have a second reading ordinance 17-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chatten, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of ordinance 17-2015.
Ordinance 17-2015, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2, $40,300 from EDIT.
Mr. Mayor, as I was ill last meeting, was this for?
Okay.
This
is a lot of money.
Okay.
A big grant.
Took an additional money to match that grant.
Okay, no problem.
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that the public hearing was held at 5:45, and no one spoke for or against.
Call for question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 17-2015, passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, could we have third reading of ordinance 17-2015?
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have third final reading of ordinance 17-2015.
Ordinance 17-2015, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts in sections 1 and 2 from edit in the amount of $40,300.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 17-2015, passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving to new business, we have resolution 12-2015, supporting partnership between Vincent Governor, Knox County Government, and Knox County Development Corporation for land in use for future industrial development.
Mayor, I move that we read and approve resolution 12-2015.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to and approve resolution
12-2015, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, in support of the purchase of additional land from the industrial park, whereas the Knox County Development Corporation seeks to purchase land for the expansion of the industrial park, and whereas to finance the purchase, KCDC, Knox County, and the City of Vincennes will enter into a partnership to contribute to that purchase, now therefore be it resolved by the Common Council is in favor of designating $250,000 from Economic Development Income Tax Fund to use as the city share of the purchase price of the land, an amount equal to the other two partners.
Any discussion? I don't know if you have a chance. Yes. I didn't have you here. This is a good problem to have, I think.
Absolutely. I shared with you all before the meeting started article that went into the Biz Voice, and I also gave you guys that just actually this hot off the press came out Friday, and Knox County was represented in the Biz Voice magazine, which is the Indiana Chamber magazine, which is a publication about 18,000. So it's really nice to have Knox County featured, and of course we come up with the top 10 reasons why to locate here, and one of the ones that we've had a good deal of success with obviously in the past has been the industrial parks. And as it started, and I think I was here in February, I believe, and shared our master plan with the city council of what KCDC intends to do with the industrial park. And we're on the back of this map, or the back of this program, that actual land that's represented there is in yellow, and it's 50 acres that we had signed a purchase agreement in January with the Moreland Siblings. Up to this point, we went through our due diligence to come up with soil borings, wetland delineation, phase one environmental. We've obtained an easement from Tony Yoakum to connect the Lewis property, which is ground that we bought in the end of 2013. And the rezonings have been approved. And we also have completed the title work, or it should be done any day now. And what the good process of this is, currently we only have 41 acres that is shovel ready, designated, and this particular plot of land will allow us to connect to the Lewis property, and then we'll have an additional, almost 100 additional acres for development. One of the things that I've shared prior to that it's remarkable when I first started looking at this too, is that we, since 1982 when the Beckus Industrial Park first came about, since then we've had a good deal of investment and a good deal of employment, and now in the industrial parks, 9.1% of the total workforce is represented in industrial parks, and it's 67.2 million. As you know, that is a big proponent or a big component of what EDIT has been gained from that. So if you look at that also, since 2011, we've grown on a run rate about 451,000 wages in the county as a whole. since that period of time, so about 13% increase. And take any questions if you have.
Well, basically, this will put us in the ball game in terms of recruiting the industry.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I shared that before. It's just, it's been the vision of the collaboration together to do this. And we were, like you indicated with the resolution there, that we're looking to go in with a partnership with KCDC and the county council. We'll be going to the county council meeting tomorrow evening to ask for the same appropriation that I'm asking for from the city tonight. And it's a total purchase of right at $750,000 plus the vendor fees that we've already been paying.
Where we should get 1.2 million this year, and so far only 468 of that is committed.
I think this this kind of project is exactly what the economic development income tax is all about. So I think it's a worthy project, and certainly will serve the people of Vincennes and Knox County very well for years to come. So.
And I agree. I think that we need to participate to our part because they're not growing. And this would be money well spent, well invested.
Should the appropriation though not be an ordinance form? So the resolution, we're resolving to appropriate it tonight, but then the actual appropriation will be an ordinance.
That's a good point. There's a timing issue on the purchase, and that's the reason we're bringing it to you to get the sense of the council, just like we did earlier.
Sure.
Actually, if you pass this, you don't need an ordinance. You would have an ordinance and a resolution. He'd be up to half a mil, so he probably would be okay with that.
I would agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, basically, you're voting
tonight
for this and you're not in favor of it anyway. So this is what you're saying is this is a
The difference is between passing it in one meeting or two meetings, essentially. And if so, this
so everybody knows though, the city's already given the KCDC almost $200,000 this year. Will you explain what that was for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's. I think every year we have looked at the partnership between the county and the city, and we have utilized and been good stewards of the dollars that have been allocated for EDIT. A portion of that is the contract for administrative services, about $48,000, I believe, is the amount number that is applied to administrative services. The rest we allocate for, and we actually utilize this money for projects like Barbest. So we basically bank the money in anticipation of projects that are forthcoming. Another portion of what would be utilized with that money for this would be getting this shovel ready, this site shovel ready, and that we use our EDIT dollars to obtain the additional infrastructure needed to connect to the Moreland property and all the Lewis property. So it's all part of a master plan to get this particular property shovel ready. And having the resources available and being good stewards of the money along allowed us to be really nimble and quick to react to the $100 million investment that Barbest put into it, and no different than what McAllister is underway doing right now.
When do you need that? This is written as this council is in favor of, so if you want, we can put it in ordinance. I didn't write this, and it came to us late, but
yeah,
this is more of a straw vote that they're in favor of it, so if you don't need it right away, we could do it at the next meeting.
That was a discussion earlier, is that we would do this because of the timing of the purchase.
We could close without the money. It's just the fact that it's being that the partnership is there.
If the council wants this in ordinance form, I'll get one ready for the next meeting.
It would be fine. But we're going to proceed vote on this. There's a timing issue here.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
No.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And resolution 12-15 passes by a vote of 6-1.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Next is claims.
Mayor, will we approve claims totaling $432,992.27?
Second. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to place claims in amount of $432,992.27.
Call the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And the claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. Nothing on the new claims?
We're scheduled to have a public hearing this coming Monday, the 18th. That will begin at 6 o'clock. We'll be here at the council chamber. I can announce that we have reserved the Perry Center directly across the street for overflow, and we're in the very final details of making arrangements for the hearing to be broadcast at that site as well as here. There could be a system where people at that site can write questions or make comments via a card and runner to send it over, or they can come in and hear. We'll probably have the first row be a row where people who have been, as they come in to make comments, will be on that row, and then hopefully keep that freed up so people can come in and make their comments. It will be a public hearing, so there will be a relatively short presentation at the beginning to address issues that have been raised before, and then for as long as it takes, we will be here to hear the public. That's what public hearing is. Restriction of a 3-minute period, so people that are preparing to make remarks, please get your remarks precise. The purpose of that, of course, is for most public hearings, is so we can hear as many people as possible. In addition to all that, we're in the final details of having this hearing broadcast as well, so people can hear the remarks. So that is, I think, all the announcements I had to make on the public hearing. Beyond that, I had a call from Tina Kunkler Loggy about addressing the council. If you had did that earlier remarks, is that what you wanted to say or not?
No, I didn't have additional comments.
You're welcome to come up at this point.
Or questions. Mm-hmm. And then Robert also has some comments. Mine are relatively brief. You've answered some of them to a degree in terms of how to manage people, preserving the Perry Center. I'm not sure how many that location seats. Looking at this venue, I would say, I don't know what, 75 to 100 perhaps. Here, safely, I'm not sure what your fire code allows. But my other concern is, do you have plans? Are you planning to prepare plans for handling parking, traffic, people gathering? If this room is filled, if that location is filled, do you have any plans for overflow? We had approximately 280 people at the public forum. That forum was simply an somewhat formal, but not the official meeting regarding this. I realize with the restrictions that you have made, that may cut down the number of people who do come and express concerns about this. But beyond just the topic of what's happening in my backyard, the topic also is forced annexation. And for our group, Citizens Against Forced Annexation, I feel like you will see many of us, whether our home is still in an area or not, to come to speak and address issues of what is happening here, how are you moving forward, what information is available, et cetera. We were promised multiple times at the public forum that information would be available. And I plan to be there to make sure those questions get asked and answered. So that's my comment. I guess back to my questions, are there plans as far as traffic control? Do you have officers who will be directing traffic? I know that this area can get congested. I've looked at the parking regulations for the city of Vincennes, the ordinances that are in existence, and it is somewhat restrictive. I've even been scouting out what lots are open of an evening here lately to try to guide people. These are some options for you. That's what I'm looking for.
I think I've addressed some of those,
I don't expect that there would be any more people here than there would be for a Rebay basketball game, for a 4th of July deal that we have down here. There's a lot of different parking in the area, and there's on-street parking in the area as well. So, I mean, I don't see the parking being a problem.
And if there is a problem with traffic, you're going to have officers in the problem.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And once again, we will have a flow that will allow, if the chamber is filled, we will have a row where people can line up to speak. So there will be, we'll stay in here within those 3 minutes time interval.
If we are located in the other building, will we be allowed to come over here then and participate?
We would anticipate people would make a comment and might be parked. After all, they could listen on the radio and probably hear better than they can in the chamber, so or they go over there and hear what they made their remark. I think there's even a working out a system where over there they have a question or a comment, they write it on a card, and we'll have a runner come over and bring it. I'll read it. It'll be part of the record. Ample opportunity as there is to do a public hearing for the public to make the comments, and that's what we will do. Yeah.
Well, as I've stated before, I appreciate the opportunities. However, I think all of us would potentially agree that the opportunity to speak to someone face to face and gain the communication beyond just the words, but also the nuances of nonverbal communication, are an invaluable part of the public hearing situation. Hearing the inflection of a person's voice, seeing the facial expression, the body language, etc., cannot be conveyed on an index card.
We're working out the details of a smart screen over there. I think WBD is even planning to broadcast on 22.1. So we're working out the final details that will probably be all worked out tomorrow. But doing the best we can within the constraints that we have. Hindsight, obviously, should have made a decision to have it in a larger venue, but once it was advertised, that was done. So looking for someone to blame, I just look ahead to see that problem. We're doing the best we can to accommodate within the facilities we have and the facilities we now have across the street, and we will hear the public. So.
I appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
House members and Mayor, my name is Robert Memory. I live at 2498 East State Road 61. Mr. Chatton, you had, before I got up here, had approached a lot of the questions I had, and Tina drew out more of them. I don't believe I'm going to get anything changed, but I just wanted to make my feelings heard and the many people that have come to me to ask to be their voice for them. Mr. Chatton, you had said earlier this evening that we want as wide a participation as possible. And I understand that, but I cannot disagree more that I understand you're going to have a place across the street and in here and video screens and all that, but I've been in numerous phone meetings, web meetings, whatever. They just don't work. And exactly like Tina said, face-to-face is the only way to do this. And I know you weren't at South Knox, but I know you read the paper and talked to your council members. This is much bigger than you think, and I want to clarify, I don't think the issue is that you're doing what you can within the constraints that you have. The issue is that you're doing what you can to avoid having this go past July 1st. You can move the meeting time All you need is the 60 days from what I'm aware. And Mr. Rolligan, if I'm wrong, please correct me. And I know there's new laws that you have to be under. But that's the issue that we're trying to get this in. It's not that we cannot move it. It can be moved.
It could be moved. It could be dropped. It could be this time next year. That the point of this is under the current law.
Correct.
And if they don't want to pass it under the current law, then they won't. But if they're trying to pass it under the current law, it has to be done on those dates. It has to be done in this venue. And it'll be voted up or down, right or wrong. But
I don't know how many people just, the feeling is they're not going to be heard. And how many people say, if I can't be in front of these people that essentially have a very big decision on the fate of their lifestyle, why am I even going to come? So I respect the time, and I just wanted to come up here and say that. I don't mean to be condescending, so please, I do apologize, because I'm not meaning to talk down, but this is a very personal matter, and I know a lot of other people take it the same way, so I thank you for your time.
Keep in mind that we can stay here as long as we want. I don't care if people want to come in and stand in the lobby and then come in here and stand in the microphone. There's going to be a lot fewer people affected than before, but then there's going to be a lot of people affected in a much more negative way. And I think some people can really understand. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to be affected by this. And we understand that. And we take that into consideration. But I think if a person looks at this and says, well, it looks like they're wiping out my whole area. If they still want to speak their mind, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
And Mr. Memory, I don't speak for the council, but I know that we're probably all in agreement that we'll be here as long as there's people asking questions. And I know it's not the ideal situation. I'm sure a lot of us would like to, look at the response we would get to be in a different spot. But we'll be here as long as people have questions. At midnight. That'd be exciting. But we'll do it. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
For the record, Councilman Chapman's remarks will be limited to a minute and a half.
I think I get to stop one.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.